But Father, as we come to your word now, and as we come to you, we pray that you would so open our eyes that we would see Jesus. Lord, we want nothing else. We want to see your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the proclaimed word. We want to know him in the power of his resurrection. We want to participate in the wonders of his grace. We want to know his righteousness, his resurrection, his payment for our sin. We want to know his eternal life. We want to know him as God, as Savior, as Lord. So would you, by your Holy Spirit, so soften our hearts, so remove all stumbling blocks from our lives, that this morning would be a special occasion in which we encounter and know Christ as the risen Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. I remember when I was a teenager, I grew up in a church where when you became a believer, you weren't baptized because you were already baptized as an infant. But I remember as a teenager being so excited of what the Lord has done in my life, that he had turned me completely from a lifestyle which was concentrated on selfishness and sin, and inwardly towards myself, my own desires, my own aspirations, and from that turned me towards him, and turned me to come to understand Jesus as the Savior from my sin. To come to understand Jesus has died for my sins, and because of that, by trusting in him, I have life, and life eternal in him. And now I can know him, now I can have fellowship with him, and now I'm introduced to his Father, our God. And now I can know the fellowship of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. I remember being so excited by that, I just had to be baptized. And so the man who was discipling me at the time and had walked with me through this whole journey, he said, let's do it. And so we went to Strand, to the sea, and I was baptized in the sea one morning. It was a wonderful occasion, a public declaration of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a public declaration that God had been working in my life amidst me, that a public declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is saving people to this very day. God is not silent. God is not passive. God is active in this world. And we see that every time someone professes Jesus as Lord and wants to go through the waters of baptism. What a wonderful thing. As I was meditating on baptism and the wonderful thing that Jesus has commanded us to be baptized, I was reflecting on the strange, almost, phenomenon that we see in the New Testament, in the reading we've just encountered, that Jesus himself was baptized too. So if you have a Bible in front of you, please turn again to Matthew chapter 3, pick up your Bible, and we're going to be looking at some of what Matthew has to tell us about Jesus' baptism, and trying to answer the question, why was Jesus baptized? I know why I was baptized, because it was commanded by the Lord, and because I celebrate my forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. But why was Jesus baptized? And I think this passage tells us seven reasons why Jesus was baptized. It sounds like a lot of reasons, but they'll be very brief and to the point. The first reason why we see Jesus was baptized is that Jesus produced fruits of righteousness. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. What happens there is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come to John the Baptist, and they too want to be baptized. And John says to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You see, John could see straight through them. These were religious leaders. But at the same time, John could see that they weren't producing fruits of repentance. They weren't turning aside from their sin. They were loving and cherishing their sin. And so this act of baptism wasn't going to be anything for them. You see, the reason is, John was baptizing as a sign of repentance for sin. As a sign that the person has actually wants to dedicate their lives to the Lord. As a sign that God is working in them, turning them for himself. You see, but when these people came to be baptized by John said, no, There is no sign of dedication to God in your life. You can't be baptized. He turns them away because they were still in their sins. They were not producing fruit in keeping with repentance because they never repented of their sins in the first place. Now, if this is so, if John's baptism then was one for the as a sign of repentance for sins, why would Jesus be baptized then? Jesus never committed any sins. Jesus never did anything wrong. He never had an idle word. Jesus never had an idle thought. Jesus never had any imperfection in any aspect of his life. He was flawless and perfect in all of his actions. And everything he ever did reflected God and God's glory. Why would Jesus then be baptized? Well, the reason is, Jesus wasn't producing the fruits of repentance. Jesus was producing the fruits of righteousness. You see, Jesus never repented of his sins, which means turning away from your sins on this side and turning towards right and good and God on this side. But the thing is, Jesus never had that turning. He never had sin. So actually, the whole life he lived, he was living in righteousness already. So when he was being baptized, it was a demonstration that he was actually acting out this righteousness. But more than that, the people around him could see John's baptism was for repentance of sins. So why is this Jesus baptized? They thought, has he sinned? But Jesus was willing to be counted amongst the sinners. He identified with us in this act of baptism. He became like one of us. Though he never sinned, he went through the waters of baptism, demonstrating his own righteousness. He was baptized to show that God was not going to save us from a distance, but God was going to enter into our reality so that he can save us for himself. The second reason why Jesus was baptized was Jesus was baptized because he is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. Now, this is recounted for us in John's Gospel, but you don't have to turn there. I'll read to you the relevant passages. The day after this encounter with some of the religious leaders that asked John questions about why are you baptizing people and who are you really, John responds by telling them who he is, that he's the one declaring and opening up the broad way so that many might come to the Lord, and he's preparing the way for the Lord. And the very next day, John sees someone walking. And this is what he says about this person. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him saying, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, John the Baptist, his mission was to prepare the way for the Lord, the coming of the Lord. And here he was. He was declaring not only who is the Lord, but he was declaring the mission of the Lord. That's why Jesus called John the greatest prophet who ever lived. Because he was able to point to Jesus with the greatest clarity. He was able to say, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. But not only so, this is the suffering servant from Isaiah 53. This is the one who's going to take away sins forever. This is the one who's going to be bruised for our transgressions. This is the one who's going to be pierced for our iniquities. This is the one who is going to bring us to God because of his own sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God. And John recognized that. Jesus was baptized as a demonstration of his mission as the suffering servant, the Lamb of God. The third reason why Jesus was baptized. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. In Matthew's Gospel, once again, we see Jesus comes from Galilee to be baptized by John. And John tried to deter Jesus. He said, "No, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me." This is exactly what he says. "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me?" And Jesus says to him, "Let it be so now. it is proper for us to do this in fulfillment of all righteousness. Now, one of the things that's so amazing to me as I was reading these passages afresh this past week was seeing how closely connected Jesus' baptism was to the prophecy in Isaiah 53 of the one who would take away sin forever. There, once again, in Isaiah 53, we read what kind of righteousness is being spoken of here by Jesus. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 11, after he has suffered, that's a suffering servant, that's Jesus, he will see the light of light and be satisfied. In other words, after he's died, he'll be raised to life again. And by his knowledge, my righteous servant, will make many righteous, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Can you see what's happening here? Jesus is the righteous one. Jesus is actually the only righteous one. He's the only righteous one who has ever lived in this whole world. You and I have fallen astray. We have gone astray like sheep. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is the righteous one. And by his righteousness, and by this act of righteousness, he will make many pleasing in God's sight. He will justify many. So the third reason why Jesus was baptized was Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteous requirements set on us. And so that by his righteousness, we will be healed of our sin and our iniquity. The fourth reason Jesus was baptized was Jesus was baptized to receive the Holy Spirit. After John consented to baptizing Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, that as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning on him. Can you see what just happened? Jesus was baptized into the water. He was immersed into the water. And as he came out of the water, the Spirit of God descended like a dove onto him, anointing him for the mission that he was to do here on earth. Anointing him as the one who would be the suffering servant, yes. But anointing him as the king over all the world. This is the one who was anointed like the Old Testament kings. They were anointed with the oil, which was the sign of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't anointed with oil. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit himself to do all that God had intended for him to do. Jesus was baptized so that he could be anointed with the Holy Spirit, which equipped him for his public ministry as a demonstration that God's promised one has come. That is good news. The fifth reason Jesus was baptized was Jesus was baptized because the Father in Jesus' baptism declared his love on Jesus, God's eternal Son. Jesus was baptized as an opportunity that God could announce his love on his Son and that God could show the identity of Jesus and share the identity of Jesus with all those who are standing by. Take a look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. When Jesus came out of the water, after he is anointed with the Holy Spirit, it says this, "This is my Son." There was a voice coming from heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." There are two occasions in the New Testament where God the Father speaks audibly to his people. At this occasion, he speaks of Jesus' baptism and Jesus' identity. And at the Mount of Transfiguration, God speaks once again about Jesus' identity, and he calls us to obey Jesus. But here, God is not only calling us to obey Jesus, here God is declaring Jesus' identity. This is my Son. And what God means by that is, this is my eternal Son. This is the one who was with me before the worlds began. This is the one who shared in my glory eternally. This is the one whom I love forever and ever and ever. This is the one who existed before anything else existed. And you know what? I love him. I love him with the greatest possible love. And not only so, I am pleased with him. God says he is pleased with Jesus, which means everything Jesus does and everything Jesus is, God is pleased with that, because everything conforms to God's character, because Jesus, in fact, is God. Jesus was baptized as a public announcement of Jesus' identity as the eternal Son of God. The sixth reason we see from this passage that Jesus was baptized is Jesus is worthy to be anointed as King. Jesus is worthy to be anointed as King. There's a wonderful passage in Matthew 3, verse 11, where John is comparing his own ministry to that of Jesus. And he says, he only baptizes with water. That's all he does. He just baptizes with water. But he says, after me will come one who baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. John recognizes that his baptism was a symbol of a reality yet to come. But he also recognizes that Jesus does a baptism which is the reality yet to come. So he says in Matthew 3 verse 11, after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry or to untie. What John is saying is that he's not even fit, he's not even worthy to start the service of this person, Jesus. You see, in the ancient world, they wore sandals like some of us wear today when we go to the beach. But what happens when you wear sandals is your feet get dirty. And what often happened in the ancient world is you would have servants who would wait upon you once you enter the house to actually take off your sandals and wash your feet. So those would be the lowest people in the household considered in that way. But John says, in comparison to Jesus, he's not even worthy to be a servant. He's not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals and then start washing Jesus' feet, this position of a lowly servant. He's not even worthy to be Jesus' servant. Well, why is that? Because John recognized Jesus' identity. And John recognized Jesus' identity in this act of baptism. You see, in just act of baptism, Jesus was not only anointed with the Holy Spirit, he was also anointed as King. And that's why in the context of that passage in Matthew chapter 3, John continues talking about Jesus as the judge. Jesus as the one who will actually bring all of us to an account. Jesus as the one before whom each of us will stand on the last day. Jesus as the one who asks us, what have you done in response to my grace, which is demonstrated in the cross and my resurrection? Jesus will be the judge because Jesus is the King. Jesus has that authority. And that's why John recognizes, I can't even start serving this person. He's the King of Israel. But he's the King of the universe. How can I serve such a being? I am unworthy to serve such a being. You see, Jesus was baptized as an act of anointing him as Messiah, as Christ, as King. The seventh reason Jesus was baptized was Jesus was baptized to give us regeneration, to give us the true baptism. Jesus was baptized to give us regeneration, the true baptism. John the Baptist also recognized one important difference between himself and Jesus' baptism. He recognized that his own baptism was just a symbol. The water which he dipped people in wouldn't actually cleanse anyone. It was just a symbol of the reality yet to come. But Jesus would be the one who actually baptizes people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. What does that mean, to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire? Well, we're given a clue of what it means when we turn again to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, which just precedes Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was poured out on the people of God, and they received the Holy Spirit to indwell them in a very similar way to the Holy Spirit was poured out on the temple of Solomon. They received the Holy Spirit to indwell them to become the new temples and to become disciples of Jesus in all the earth. So to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is actually to receive the Holy Spirit. Now this is no separate act from faith in Jesus Christ. This is when we have placed our trust in Jesus. Jesus has given us His Holy Spirit. That means our repentance is enabled by His Holy Spirit, and our life of obedience towards Him is enabled by His Holy Spirit. Our having eyes to see God's work in Jesus' cross and resurrection is enabled by the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and then to take this message of the gospel out into all the world, declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This is what it means that Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. The act of baptism which we perform is a sign, it's a symbol of a reality which is deeper than water. It's the reality of God transforming our hearts. It's the reality of God showing us who Jesus is. And it's the reality of us looking to Jesus and looking to Jesus' cross and the forgiveness which He offers in His cross and resurrection, and by His Holy Spirit saying, "Yes, Lord, yes, You have forgiven my sins. I am sorry, forgive my sins. I turn away from it, and I trust in You and You alone for righteousness. I don't have any righteousness of my own, but only Your righteousness. That's all I have, Lord." These waters of baptism are a sign of that, that God has been working in us. One last point to make. Can you see that in this account of Matthew chapter 3, we see in Jesus' baptism the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus. And then we see the Father declaring His love over Jesus. And then when Jesus sends out His disciples, He says, "Go, make disciples of all the nations. And as you go, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." You see, we are baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, in identification with us, was baptized in the Holy Spirit and with the Father. We're going to pray now, and then we're going to sing a song, and after that we're joyfully going to celebrate and invite our baptismal candidates to come forward. So let me pray and dedicate the rest of our time together, and then we're going to sing. Our Father, we are so thankful as we think about Jesus who was baptized. But we are so thankful that that baptism led Him to live the life You wanted Him to live and die the death You wanted Him to die and be raised to life again so that we may have life in Him. Lord, we pray as we baptize these Your children that we can celebrate with them, that we can recognize Your work right here in our midst, that our hearts would be melted with thankfulness to You. I pray, O Lord, that we would come to see You as Lord over all the universe and Lord over our lives, and that we would commit ourselves to discipling, helping, and shepherding these Your children, so that they would grow in all maturity, knowing You for the rest of their lives and into eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.